Senator Chris Alpine's favorite song, former host of the Rational Revolution. It's good to be here. It's good to be here with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and of Civic Media, our political director here on the Rational Revolution. Dan, first off, before I ask a question, I do want to say that as someone who has been in a position where you got to say the thing, I really appreciate your courage to be able to stand up and say the thing. I know it's not something that's, it's not an unfamiliar place for you, but I do appreciate it. And it's something that that's needed, you know? So thanks.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
So you said something last segment. You think that he is going to run. Why do you think that?
Well, I just think that all signs are, it seems like what he's doing now is a whole lot like what he had been doing, I guess, in what would it have been, early 2021, yeah, after he'd been reelected and after he was, after he was elected. It's second budget cycle. It just seemed like he was setting himself up similarly and doing a lot of the same stuff that he was doing beforehand. Mm. And I think, sending fundraising emails or whatever it might be. I just think it seems like he's headed that direction. But from what I've heard, he genuinely has not yet made the decision.
That's good.
He's asked about this in every media availability he seems have across the state about whether he's made his decision yet. And he said, he keeps saying after the budget. and now that the budget is getting delayed and has an impasse and, is going to have its own set of complications over the next month or so here. Yeah. I think that, but I do think he's still kind of on track to run again. I think most 2026 candidates in most other states have made announcements thus far.
Right.
So I think, it's incumbent upon the incumbent to make a decision at some point.
Do you think the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is prepared for a competitive primary like that?
Prepared? I mean, I'm not totally sure. But I think a primary would be a good thing. This is part of what I wrote in the piece too, is that I think Democrats have avoided primaries, and I think that's been to their detriment. And I think, the situation with Harris last year, it was so late in the game. It was like, okay, this is an acceptable enough process to not have a primary. She was the vice president. That I was fine with that. But also, I don't think it was a good process, right? I think we would have been better off if the voters had decided. And I think in 2022 here in Wisconsin, when all of the Senate candidates dropped out and endorsed Mandela Barnes, I think Mandela Barnes was a good candidate, may have even overperformed expectations in that race, even if he came up short. But I think his candidate would have been a little sharper had he faced some more robust competition in that primary. I think there is like this iron sharpens iron quality of these primaries that makes these candidates more better situated for a run. And I think it would be, as we are in this moment talking about what's the next best path forward for the Democratic Party and, who's the Joe Rogan? We need to find the Joe Rogan of the left, or we need to find the best messaging, or is it going to be abundance or populism? How about we let the voters decide? I think it needs to start with what direction the voters want to go. And we can talk about the list of candidates, but I think, and I may have some people on the list that I favor more than others, but I think that's not the point. I think the point is the getting back to the small D democratic process,
right?
That I think so many of us believe so strongly in, that is going to be the path forward, that the voters are going to give us the path forward, not the consultant class, right, not whoever else, not the party bosses. It's the voters who matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I think it would be kind of cool to see someone who is, a center left person. That's a, like a consensus builder, like not the crazy right now Tommy Thompson, but like what's the Democratic version of the common sense Tommy Thompson from the 90s that worked with everybody, that everybody said, hey, he's a good guy. Let's. So who are the candidates that would come to mind? I think the Democrats have a really big bench.
I think it's a pretty strong bench. I think that's part of it too. So I think, as I wrote in the piece, if Evers decides not to run, candidates could include Attorney General Josh Call, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Senator Kelda Royce, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and the soon-to-be former party chair, Ben Wickler.
Do you think he would do that?
Undoubtedly a few more on that list, too. So I think it's a group of more than qualified candidates. Like, I think this is a pretty strong bench. And looking into a 2026 election cycle that might be more advantageous for Democrats. I mean, that's the history of a midterm election. When you have a Republican in office, it's usually a better year for Democrats in the midterms. We saw that in 2018 with the blue wave. So I think there's that's a factor to be considering here as well. And then, you know, look, I don't know. What do you think of that list of candidates there?
I think it's good.
Is there anyone I missed?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting as like some of the candidates that have announced for other seats could make a run, like Rebecca Cook. You know, I think she would have been a pretty, she's already announced for Congress, but I think that she is someone that, you know, in a purple district that I think people would be able to listen to. And I think what's important is it's not just the Milwaukee-Madison area. You have to come up and you have to perform in Green Bay. You have to perform, you know, in the western part of the state. You have to perform with blue collar people. And you can't perform well with blue collar people by doing a lot of the same things that Democrats have been doing over the last 15 years. You cannot do that. And so who is that candidate? Jeez, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's crazy to think, you know, of who that would be. Is it someone that's elected or is it someone that's not? You know,
I mean, you know, it could be an outsider. It could be, you know, the host of Rational Revolution, you know, whoever it might be.
I've had friends that have said, you can't run for that. It's got to be a state office if you do anything at all. And they're like, oh, okay, sounds good. Yeah, whatever.
But I think, you know, and I think on the Republican side, too.
Yes,
I
mean, what happens there?
I think the field that they have for potential gubernatorial candidates right now is awful. Yeah. I think they have a really rough group.
Tom Tiffany.
Right now. I think Tom Tiffany, you know, whether if he decides to run, he might be the highest profile name. I don't know if he has any kind of crossover appeal.
He's
outside
terrible.
Of a deep red district in the northern part of the state. Washington County Executive Josh Shulman has thrown his hat into the ring, the only announced candidate on the right now. I think he is a terrible candidate. Yeah. I think he is wildly overmatched for this. Yeah. We ran a piece at the Recombobulation area a couple of weeks about this from columnist Jordan Morales, who wrote a piece about how in one of the reddest counties in the state, Washington County, in 2022, he failed to get a police funding referendum passed.
That's hilarious.
Like, what is the record that he is running on at all? And then, you know,
I think he'd be
like
a great
Eric
candidate
Huffy and rehash candidates and like whatever else. This guy, Bill Berrien, who's a political unknown from southeastern Wisconsin business community, is considering a run. Sure, I guess. Brian's the one guy who I think would change the conversation if he did decide to get in, I think would be Brian Stile, first congressional district representative. But I think he's going to be running again in that seat. I think he is, you know, he's been kind of rising in the ranks in the House.
Yeah.
And I think maybe he's smart enough to realize that this isn't the best year for a Republican to be running in a statewide race.
Well,
to take that shot.
And that district is a targeted district by the Dems. And so I think that the Republican Party, the big GOP, is going to ask him to stay there because they do need someone with his
history.
But
he has consistently overperformed in a more competitive district than some of his other Republican counterparts. And so I think, you know, if there's a member of Congress in the Wisconsin Republican member of Congress who is probably best positioned for a statewide run, I would say it's Stile. Maybe that's for Senate in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Though.
I wonder if Gallagher would come back. I don't know, but he did the whole Trump thing. So that might tick him off. Is Hovde still got his ear to the ground?
I've heard Hovde's name in the mix too. Yeah.
I've
his name
that.
Will come up in these articles talking about a run. It would not surprise me at all. That came up when we were talking about that on Matt and Aaron Air this week too,
as
potential Republican candidates. And I think Jane thinks he's going to run again. Yeah.
That would be a mistake. What is your reaction been to the article?
It's been a range of things. It's been, you know, right-wing media has had some pretty bizarre reactions to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that at all. Like Dan O'Donnell went on the radio the other day to talk about how this is part of a coup.
So
I'm instigating a palace coup. And he insinuated that like somebody is whispering in my ear for this column, and this is part of a larger shadowy effort to push Evers out and make way for Ben Wickler, which is so ridiculous. Like, to think that I am behind some sort of palace coup. I'm just a guy writing an opinion column in Milwaukee. Like, that's, there's no, nobody's whispering in my ear about this. This isn't part of a larger effort. This is just one guy with an opinion, an independent opinion column who has a take.
And, you know, Dan O'Donnell's got to come to the defense of Tony Evers, who he repeatedly punched in the face here, apparently. You know, he feels bad for the guy. What a Dan O'Donnell found his moral compass, which is great.
There's been some, I expected some people to disagree with me on this, and I'm not surprised that there have been some who have, but I think, you know, I'm also a little bit surprised on how many people have spoken positively about this column as well. I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, you know, bold of you to write this, you know, I wouldn't have been the one to do it, but you know, thanks for saying this. I agree with you. You know, it's time, whatever. So I think there has been the reaction to this. I expected to really, you know, kind of piss people off with this one. Uh-huh. And I would say the response has been much more positive than I anticipated.
Dan Schaefer with his closet full of Molotov cocktails is, you know, I'm not going to ask for any names, but has anyone reached out and messaged that are like, oh, wow, okay. That have surprised you privately?
A couple, yeah. But, you know, I think the general consensus is like, are you a fan of the movie Big Lebowski at all?
I've never seen it. My brother is.
Oh, okay. So there's a line in the Big Lebowski where people say, where, you know, John Goodman's character is saying, am I wrong? Am I wrong? Yeah. And the dude says, you're not wrong, Walter. You're just a blank, you know? So that's kind of just been the general reaction to the column this week.
We got a short on time here. We got about a minute and a half left. Who, now I know we talked about, we let the people of Wisconsin decide. However, we can't, you know, we got to do that. We got to do this. Who do you think would be the best candidate, and what voters do they need to attract?
I'm just going to keep with what I said in the column. I'm sorry. I think this needs to be the voters decide. And I may have people that I you know, think of more strongly. I endorsed David Crowley early in the process for Milwaukee County Executive. I've been a big fan of his for a long time. You know, I don't know what his name recognition is like outside of the Milwaukee media market. So I think, you know, just as one example. So like Crowley is somebody I've backed for a long time. Would I do that for governor? Maybe, but I'd also want to see, you know, what a campaign would look like once it goes from the hypothetical to the reality too. I think that matters as part of it too. But I think it ultimately, it should be up to the voters to decide. I think the consultant class thinking that like, oh, you need to have a candidate in mind and oh, let's clear the field for this person and blah, blah, blah. I absolutely hate that mentality.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Well, if we got 30 seconds, if Tony Evers does step down, how seismic is it? How big is that? What does that do to Wisconsin politics?
I think it is a big deal for Wisconsin politics, obviously, but I think this is something that could reverberate nationally. I think we always know, I mean, we just saw about the spring election and how that impacted the relationship between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. We know that all eyes in the political universe are always on Wisconsin.
Yep.
And I think it's one thing for like 80-year-old Dick Durbin to retire in a blue seat. I think a popular governor in a purple state like Wisconsin retiring and passing the torch to the next generation would have reverberations nationally.
Dan Schaefer here on the Rational Revolution. Thank you so much. We got him on the Civic Media Network. Dude, thank you. And we'll be back with my thoughts right after this.